Alright, so first of all, this Shabbos is coming. And this isn't just any Shabbos, it's a very special Shabbos. It's a Shabbos before Shavuos. Why is that special? So everyone knows that the Gemara teaches us that while we're not exactly sure what date Shavuos fell upon, if it was the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan, everyone agrees that on which day of the week that we received the Torah? Shabbos. Everyone says it had to be, we received the Torah on Shabbos. That's clear. And the question is why? Why is it so clear that we have to have received the Torah on Shabbos? So, it seems like the real time to mekabel the Torah unto ourselves is Shabbos. The Zohar says that when we... Normally, there's this Indian that Torah can be a Sama Mavis or Sama Chaim. It depends on us. Depends on how we're using it. But on Shabbos, the Zohar says, there's no klipos, there's no negativity. That the Torah that we receive goes straight into our neshama, straight into our kishkas. And that's why the Slonim Rebbe would say, I don't know exactly what this means, but he says that a moment of Torah learning on Shabbos Kodesh is equal to hours of Torah learning during the week in a spiritual sense. What that means, again, I'm not exactly sure, but it means that there's a special time to connect to Torah on Shabbos Kodesh, connecting the Gashmis and the Ruchnis, which is also the Indian of Shavuos. So in particular, this Shabbos, the Shabbos before Shavuos, which is like the seventh of the last day of the Zayin Nikiyim, every week of every Shabbos, getting closer and closer to purifying ourselves until we're ready to receive that Torah. This should be a very special Shabbos of singing, of dancing, of getting any Gashmis off of ourselves, and making ourselves ready to receive the Torah. So I bless us with that, first of all. Second of all, in terms of Shavuos itself, Bezrat Hashem, we'll dance together. I'm going to bring TVA to join and dance together with you guys. Bezrat Hashem, that's a minhag. So, mamash kish achad b'lev achad. But on Shavuos itself, one piece of advice that the Nativa Shalom advises us is that Shavua, of course, is a lashon of weeks, but it's also an lashon of Shavua, like an oath, like a hachlata, something new that you take upon yourself. So in the simplest sense, on Shavuos, it's like we're getting new wings. It's a mincha chadasha l'Hashem. It doesn't matter what happened before, we're re-accepting upon ourselves the Torah, that's why we stay up all night, and we're getting new kolchas to embrace the Torah in a whole new way. That's why we're doing this mysterious effort of staying up all night. And just automatically, I'm recommitting myself to the Torah. But in addition to that, the Tivo Shalom suggests that a person should take upon himself one Shavua, one new commitment, a chlota, in one aspect of your Avodat Hashem, which is going to be changed. I would recommend something related to learning Torah or something like that, but pretty much anything is good. Take one thing upon yourself this Shavuos. Maybe don't take 10 things because it won't last. Just take one thing that's practical, that's real, that can be held accountable for. And that would be my Shavuos recommendation, to make this Shavuos not just be a high that you had dancing and singing, but be something that will last you throughout the year. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, a little bit about the Parsha. The source sheet here, yeah. A little bit of the source sheet. I printed it, of course I lost it, but I have some source sheets afterward, if anybody wants to look at. So this is a parsha where, of course, it's a parsha of Bamidbar, of Anava, of Bittul. It's a parsha of Achdus, but it's also a parsha where we come down into the world this concept of Oy l'Rasha, Oy l'Shcheino. Twice in the parsha, Rashi points out this idea of how our environment affects us. Okay, so the first place it comes up is a story with Mishpacha Bnei Kahat, that Reuven was next to Kahat. So what? Kahat ended up having Datan ve'Aviram, who ended up becoming the leaders of the Korach rebellion. And because of that, Rashi exclaims, Oy l'Rasha, oy l'Shcheina, in Bamidbar Gimel Chavtet, woe to the wicked, woe to his neighbor, because Reuven was next to Datan ve'Aviram, they ended up becoming, you know, conflagrated, swept into this this terrible machlokes because they were near bad neighbors. Okay, so you got to watch out for who your neighbors are. On the flip side, Rashi points out a little bit later, just a few psukim later, that Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun were next to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tov LaTzadik, Tov LaShchena. Because they were next to Moshe Rabbeinu, they got swept into the Kedusha and they ended up becoming G'dolim B'Torah. They ended up becoming great in Torah. Okay? So this is the parsha of the headquarters of focusing on choosing our environment. Agav, Rav Nemtzal points out that they didn't choose their environment, right? God told them, Reuben, you're going to be here, and Yudah, you're going to be here. And the truth is, sometimes in life, we don't choose our environment. We're stuck in a particular environment, and it's still we still have free choice. We can still resist our environment. You still have to make those siyagim to not get swept up into your environment. But, okay, so that happens. Sometimes we're put in a tough situation. But the point is, we have to recognize what our environment is and, to the best of our ability, choose not to get swept up in a negative environment. There's an amazing Tana Devel Yahu that I heard in my 12th grade speech from Rabbi Lamb, and I remembered it, and I looked it up yesterday. I was preparing this year. And it's a very chazak, maybe some of you will disagree, find it harsh, but it's a chazak Tana Devel Yahu. I'll read it for you guys. This is a rabbi. Pamachat hayiti over makom lamakom. One time I was going from place to place. Ushnat betzorat hayta, and it was a time of famine. And this guy said, "Hey, Rebbe, where are you from?" I'm from this place. And he said, "Kulam chachamim v'rabbanim." Everyone there is a talmid chacham. Maybe it's Yerushalayim. Maybe it's Brooklyn. Maybe it's Kine. Amarle, Rebbe, shev bimkomi shani marei otcha v'ani nodan chachit inusorim shkutlo v'nei kidneys. And he says, "Come back to my place," the guy says. Because there's a shnat batzorat, we have food here, we have quinoa, we have life. It's going to be gevald. Come live with me. V'amarti lo b'ni, and I told him, afilu matanu tenli elef alafim dinarei zahav ein ani maniach makam taira. Even if you gave me millions of life, I would never leave a makam Torah. V'amarti rebi mibneima. Why? V'amarti lo b'nei shekol otom b'nei adam shatara eh. They stop themselves, and they live in a world where there's no Torah. And then they die. The only thing that's going to escort you to the Olam Haba is the words of Torah that you learn and the mitzvahs that you do. And so says Tana de Eliyahu, better that I give up the entire Olam Hazat than I leave a Malkum of Torah. In other words, the equation that Tana Devel Yahu is saying that if you want to live a life of words of Torah and mitzvahs, what do you need to do? What action? You need to live in a place of Torah. You need to set yourself in an environment of Torah. Now, like I said, this is a little bit of a controversial. It might not resonate with all of us completely because we're believers in shlichus, that we have to bring our Torah outside of the Beis Medrash and go to college campus and go to Zimbabwe and go to the world and spread our Torah to the world. For sure, ki mitzvah teitzei Torah. With that said, I think it's important that our home base, that emotionally, psychologically, and hopefully also in terms of, you know, physically as much as possible, our home base must be a makom of Torah. We have to have a makom of Torah in our life, even if there are going to be times when we're going to take our Torah and go out to the world. Now, you might think, okay, like that's a cute idea, it's a very stark idea, but okay, I'm not the type of guy that's going to be affected by environment. I'm a strong guy. Wherever I go, I'm going to be chazak. And I think to certain degrees that may be true. I'm sure many of you and I are strong enough that we can resist our negative environment, but at the same time, I think it's important to remind yourselves that everyone, every single person, is affected to a certain effect by your environment. And just to drive that point home, I want to throw at you a few psychological statistics and surveys and interesting things, which remind us of how much we are affected by those around us. Okay, so this is based on a safer I read called "Influence" by Robert Cialdini. And it's all about how we're affected by our environment, at least this chapter. So one great example of this is tonight. Tonight, maybe some of you guys have taken upon yourself to learn Torah and learn it loudly and shtayg. But let's be honest, how many of us, if we were just sitting alone in our room, would be learning Torah with a fire, versus if you go to Beis Medrash and you're in that Makom Torah, right? I think we all recognize that when you're in a Makom Torah, it's gonna bring good things out of us, correct? And at the same time, take the opposite. Let's say we took upon ourselves, we're not gonna eat cake and ice cream and sugary things. We want to be healthy, right? But what are the odds of us eating tons and tons of cheesecake and ice cream and stuff like that if we're in our room alone versus if we're in the base and then we're surrounded by cookies and cake? And right? I think most of us recognize we're probably going to end up eating a lot more unhealthily when we're surrounded by unhealthy things. I still think you should go to the Beis Medrash, don't get me wrong. I think it's more important to be in a Makom of Torah than to eat healthily, although they're both important. But I think that's just a very visible example of how much we're affected by our environment. Another interesting example of this is, let's say, laugh tracks, right? So laugh tracks, nobody really likes laugh tracks. I mean, they're kind of fake, they're silly, like, why can't I just laugh when I want to laugh? But yet, many, many TV shows have laugh tracks. So why do many TV shows have laugh tracks? What's the pshat? Pshat is when our brain hears that other people are laughing, we think, oh, I should also laugh. Right? Because we're affected by that which other people do around us. Right? Similarly, you'll see a lot of times waitresses and waiters and musicians, they put money in their tip jar. Why do they do that? What are they trying to subconsciously teach us? They're trying to say, oh, everyone else is tipping, you should also tip. Right? Because subconsciously, they know that people look around them. Right? Here's another example. Many advertisers will say, this is the fastest growing product in all of, whatever, pharmaceuticals. Why are they telling you that? What are they subconsciously trying to teach you? They're trying to say, they know that that way you won't have to actually think whether it's a good product or not. You'll just realize everyone else is doing it, so I'll do it too. Right? Similarly, in the olden days, bars used to pay people to stand outside of their bar. What's a pshat? Why would they do that? If everyone else is waiting to get into the bar, then I also have to get into the bar. They know the stats. They know statistically that if other people are doing it, we'll want to do it too very often. And that can be used in a good way. I don't think there's necessarily a bad thing. For example, Albert Bandura figured out a way to get people to overcome their fears. He took little kids who were scared of doggies, very, very scared of dogs. What did he have them do? Had them watch other little children in a movie who would play with doggies. And amazingly, after 4 days of watching these little clips, 67% of children, of these little kids, were willing to jump in and play with these doggies, just after watching a few clips. In a similar study, another psychologist took kids who were socially awkward and the outsiders. They wouldn't go and play with other kids. And he had them watch one video for 22 minutes about other children who were similar to them playing and being very social. And after watching that video, most of the kids went and became very socially active, and many of them even became leaders of the social group simply by observing other people. Because what do? We look at people around us, and we generally are affected by what other people around us are doing. One caveat. It's generally when we're looking at people who we view as similar to ourselves. Right? If you people who are different, then it won't affect you. So, for example, they did an interesting study in Colombia where they took people who found a wallet, a fake wallet that they planted, and when people found this wallet and the person they saw in the picture was similar to them. When there was someone who was similar to them, 70% of people returned the wallet. When there's someone who was dissimilar to them, who looked different, who they didn't connect to, what percentage of people return their wallet? Can you guys guess? 33%. 33% of people, we believe in Hashem Saveda, you would do it in any situation, but this is how people work. When people are similar to them, it has a much stronger effect. This can be very scary. This can have scary effects. So it's something called the Werther effect. The Werther effect is about this famous book which was banned, written by Van Gogh, where it was about a suicide. Whenever people were reading about this suicide, suicide rates skyrocketed. And this is true to this day. Whenever people hear about suicides, about a famous people, unfortunately, suicide rates skyrocket when they hear about that. An average of about 58 more people, whatever. You don't have to get into details, but it's really terrible. Why? What's the svara that's going on behind it? people are saying, oh, if he can do it, and he's someone I respect, that's also something that I do. Now, again, I know we're you know, free thinkers who think for ourselves and, you know, do cheshbon nefesh every day. But lemaisa, we have to recognize that our brain is not as purely logical. 2 + 2 = 4, right? We've all made that commitment to not do something that then we're in an environment, we get swept into it, we make emotional decisions, we use heuristics, and we have to recognize that the environment that we choose to put ourselves in will make a difference in our lives. Now, when I say the environment, I mean on many levels. I mean the college roommates that you're going to choose. I mean, are you going to live with Chabad? Are you going to live with a Jewish campus? Or are you going to live with, you know, on the other part of campus? I mean, your summer plans. Are you going to choose to go to a summer camp which has an environment of Torah? Are you going to not? Are you going to choose to hang out with certain types of friends or not? Are you going to sit with the friends who speak Lashon Hara? Are you going to sit with the friends who generally speak about holy things? And it's not just physical proximity. Are you going to surround yourself with Sfarim? Are you going to surround yourselves with other things? Are you going to surround yourself with Gadol stories? Are you going to surround your mind with stories about, you know, your environment, stories of Kedusha? Or are you going to, you know, surround your mind with rap and whatever? And, you know, Goyish of values. I don't want to sound too Haredi today, but there is something to the fact that the environment that we place ourselves in will absolutely have an effect on ourselves. And it's true on our phones too. What Facebook am I watching? What YouTube videos? What, you know? Much of our time is spent with screens. So that also is a big mashpia upon our lives, and we should choose carefully what environment we want to place ourselves in. So Bezrat Hashem, in this parsha of Oyla Rasha Oyla Shchena, we should not do that. We should do Tov LaTzadik, Tov LaShchena. We should surround ourselves with holy people, with tzaddikim, with holy words. And in that tzchus, we should megala our neshama more and more. And we should be leaders to lead other people back to the derech of Hashem. Tzad Hashem.